Have you been invited to a wedding banquet before? Many of us have that experience. And when your good friends get married, you will be invited, I'm pretty sure. Will you go? If your good friends get married, well, you will, right? You won't refuse to go just because there's a ball game or whatever important thing, I mean, sort of important thing that you need to do that night. Even though for some reason that you were like invited at the last minute, you will still go. You should try your best to make it. Because it's your friend's wedding banquet. But have you been invited to a wedding banquet that you don't want to go there? Do you? When I was in Hong Kong, there were times when I was invited to the wedding banquet just because I was the helper for the ceremony, or like I needed to do something for that banquet night as well. At those times, I don't consider myself a guest because I'm basically like a worker. These two kind of invitation are very different. In Jesus' parable, the king was not looking for a waiter or waitress or helper. He has prepared everything. He has his servant. The servant will do the serving. He invited his guests just to celebrate and share the joy in the banquet. When I first read that parable, I felt that it's about the time that when Jesus comes back and people who accept the invitation, accept salvation, will be in the banquet with Jesus. It's something like in the future. And we know that when Jesus told this parable, the audience were mostly Jews. So those people, when we think about that, those people who refused to come, or those people who even killed the servants, would be Jews. I mean, because they didn't accept Jesus. And when the king actually invite people on the street, when the king told the servant to invite anyone you find, and I know that that's talking about us. That's Gentiles. Because we at first we would not belong to God's people, but now we become God's people. But if we read the parable in this way, certainly we will feel good because we're here, because like we accept the invitation. But then the only remaining concern would be whether we are wearing wedding clothing. Because if we are not, then we are in trouble. When Jesus sees us, how come you are not wearing wedding clothes? So we usually spend time investigating what is wedding clothes. Is that because of whether we love God, love people, whether our wedding clothes is actually doing good deeds on this earth? We will never consider ourselves as one who refuses God's invitation. And certainly we will never think that we will kill God's servants, like who come to bring the invitation to us. So we basically cut half of the parable, and then it's totally irrelevant to us. A while ago, I was inspired by one of my teachers in the Bible school. I start to read this invitation more as God's calling on our life than just salvation. Certainly God calls us to be His children. He calls us to be His people. He calls us to be His church. And He calls us to do different things at different stages in our life. How did we respond to God's calling? Please do not misunderstand. I'm not doing recruitment. I'm not like asking you to do more, be more involved in church ministry. I know you are already very too involved in the church ministry that maybe you don't have time to think about God's calling at all. Calling is about your life, your whole life. It's really more than Sunday. I mean, Sunday is important. It's really more than your local church. Also, local church is important, but it's not all. But before we get into that, let me first justify why we should look at this from this angle instead of just on whether we accept the salvation, whether we are saved or not. In this parable, Jesus started with, "The kingdom of heaven is like the kingdom of heaven." A lot of the time when we see the kingdom of heaven, or we see the word heaven, we see that as the place that we, after we die, we go. There's something in the future. Or something out in the sky. But please think about what Jesus preach as he first started to preach. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus' first coming is the start of the kingdom on earth. Although the kingdom will not fully be realized until his second coming. But the kingdom of heaven, the heaven, is already here. The place belonging to God has already started. Think about the Lord's Prayer. You know how to say that, right? Your kingdom come. May your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On earth. So please drop the idea that God's kingdom is just high up in the sky or in somewhere that we cannot touch. When God's order, the king's order, is followed at a place, that place is part of the kingdom. When God's order is being obeyed on earth, God's kingdom is here. When we live out God's will in our lives, God's kingdom is here. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are praying that he will rule over our lives too. So when Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son, it's not just about the future, it's about now. It's about how we respond to God's calling to live in this world. In the parable, there are three types of respond to God's calling. But before we get to those three different responses, let's take a glimpse of what God is thinking when he calls us. First of all, God has long decided to call us. Again, we feel that God is calling us to serve him, work for him. I can understand that feeling sometimes because the church or myself or other leaders, when they, for example, if I call you up, you would expect half of the time or most of the time is like, I have something to ask you to do. Maybe it's certainly on me. But if we look at this parable, God calls us to be at a banquet. Not at an office or at a factory or, it's a banquet. Do you only work at a banquet? I know what I mean. When your friends get married, you have a lot of responsibility, no matter in the afternoon or at night, but the most important thing at a banquet is to enjoy and celebrate, to enjoy. God has something to share with us all. Look at the parable. The banquet has long been planned and you have been invited. The food has been prepared. Everything is ready. It's like the gift for you already. Your life has been sort of cut out into a shape that fits the purpose God wants you to, God has planned for you, the purpose God has planned for you. You just need to come and enjoy the banquet as you follow God's calling to serve him. It's a long-planned banquet. At the time, 2,000 years ago, those guests would be invited in advance. And then on the day, they will be called again to come when the dinner is ready. It's not just a reminder, it's telling that the dinner is ready. God has the banquet prepared, planned, for each of our lives before we were born. Way before you start to ask, God, what is your will in my life? He has already planned it out for you. He has already planned the best for you. You may be worried that you have missed the call, especially for those people who are thinking about their future now. You may think, oh, what if I make the wrong decision? But don't worry. Jesus keeps calling. I'm not saying that you can drop the call now, but Jesus keeps calling. When the king sends his servant to invite people to come, what was the first response? I mean, the people refused to come. Did the king get mad? No, he even sent more servants to invite them again. Come. And even when no one come, the king continued to invite people from the streets. God does not withdraw his invitation to mankind, to us. When no one wants to come, I mean, if you were the king, what would you do if no one wants to come? I would simply just close the door and enjoy the banquet with my family or say to my servant, you can come and enjoy now. We are not serving any guests anymore. The king wanted to share the best with those people, but you turned it down. Why would I continue to invite? But God is different. He loves us so much. He doesn't give us on us, the mankind he created. And then the king invites anyone, good and bad. It's sort of a weird idea. It's not a new idea. We now know that. And it was what God has planned way ahead when he blessed Abraham. In Genesis 12:3, God said to Abraham, all people on earth will be blessed through you. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That's what in God's mind when he first called us. I mean, when he calls now. He planned to call and he keep calling. He's determined to involve us in his plan. Has God called you before? God has called me to serve him a long time ago. It was way before I went back to Hong Kong, even like 17 years ago. I still remember one morning I sat outside, before the renovation of this place, I sat outside in the foyer of the church. A thought came to my mind. It's so good that if I can serve here, and if I can be here all day long. Did I respond to that immediately? No, I didn't. I went back to Hong Kong for my own desires. I worked for 8 years, do other things, many other things. In the meantime, I still served at the church. It's not that I don't go to church, but I didn't respond to the call. And then God called me to study. Even until then, I didn't recall that particular moment until the second year in the Bible school. That's why in verse 5 it said, but they paid no attention and went off, one to his field and other to his business. Just like the first type of response in the parable, I paid no attention, I went off for my own business. But Jesus kept calling me, and one day I answered the call. It was late, but God didn't give up on me. Has God called you before? Did you pay no attention? It's never too late to answer his call, because God will never give up on you. For many people, their whole life focus on their career, their marriage, their children. I mean, there are countless things that you can have your focus on for your whole life, until you find it is too late. I mean, those are all good gifts that God has given to us. But please don't just focus on those gifts and forget the one God who gave you all this. You may have seen it in our church as well. Many of us, I mean, we are loyal servants in the church. But apart from Sunday, or like a lot of the time that we find it as we grow old, we started to, I mean, continue to care about our health, our retirement. We continue to focus on those gifts. We thank God. We give thanks all the time. But we pay no attention to the banquet that God has prepared for us. What a miss. God invites us to join him to see what he sees, what he cares. But we only care about our own. Do you care about your own? Yeah, I mean, you should. But that shouldn't be the only thing. So are you one of those people who refuse God's invitation? Let's look at the second type of response. In verse 6, it said, the rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. It's quite difficult to understand why some people would kill the servant. No matter how much you don't want to go to that wedding banquet, you won't hear the invitation. I mean, definitely not in front of the person who invites you. You won't block their number or like block their email. Unless, when will you block the number? A scam. Unless it's not from your friends. You know that Jesus loved his enemies too, and he calls them too. And Jesus doesn't treat them as enemies. Although those people, they treat Jesus as an enemy. And when I think about that, it's more like receiving an a wedding invitation from your ex, or a person that you like but didn't work out. Always that kind of things happen, right? I had those experiences. I can still recall those moments. I didn't go to a very best friend's wedding because, like, he's married with a sister that didn't work out. At the same time, different space, I opened a bottle of wine. I celebrate for my friends, but I didn't go to the banquet. So, you see, those images sometimes stick to your mind. Certainly if you have moved on and you got married into a relationship, probably it's easier, right? I mean, if not, what if not? Will you go? Well, no one would think Jesus is an ex. I mean, you're our ex, but the feelings sometimes may be similar. Maybe God has disappointed you before. Maybe He hasn't answered your prayer, and then things go really wrong in your life before. You may have resentment towards God. You may still be mad at God. So when Jesus calls you, you throw your phone, you throw your Bible, you stop coming to church for a while, you don't want to answer at all. I think that might be the reason I didn't answer God's calling for so many years. I went back to Hong Kong for someone who eventually God didn't give to me. I couldn't recall my exact feeling at that time now, but I can imagine how I treated God's calling at that time. So if you feel that you just don't want to hear God's call, probably it's a good time to reflect on your past and see what kind of stages are you in. Are you those people who killed the servants that invite you? The third type of response is that man who accepts the call and came to the wedding banquet, but without proper wedding clothing. Let me read to you again, because we haven't got the scripture on the screen. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in and to see all the guests, he noticed a man, or a lady, who was not wearing wedding clothing. He asked, "How did you get in here without wedding clothing?" Thank you for that. "Friends," he called that person friend. And the man was speechless. The first thing that I wonder, maybe you wonder too, is this quite weird? I mean, why would the king expect a random man on the street that he invite to the wedding would wear wedding clothes? But the truth is, at that time, throughout Judea, it's customary for the host to provide wedding clothing for his guests. So that they have that already. The purpose is so that they can be suitably attired. That means the king has provided clothing, but this man decided not to wear it. That's why we don't need to find extra excuses for him, because that he said he was speechless. That man has no other excuse. That man responded to the king's call and attended the banquet. But he just wanted to attend with his own clothes, not those one provided by the king. Maybe he considered his one is better. When you respond to God and start to do something, do you respond in your own way, your own clothing? Or you respond in the kingdom's way, the clothing that the king have given you? Do you hold on to your own values and perhaps thinking those are more practical in this world? After I respond to God's calling and became a pastor, there were times that I did things in my own ways, using my old tricks, and I regret it. we need to be very careful because the devil would keep whispering to us, did God really say that? Is that a way that he suggests ways that are from the world? The devil wants you to serve God with his way. I mean, if you really need to serve God, he will say, no, let's serve in this way. But no one would think that they serve God in their own ways. So we need to ask ourselves, how much do you respect God? You need to ask yourself, how often do you disagree with Jesus, disagree his teaching and his values? And how often do you say, you won't say you disagree. You say, oh, it's hard, it's very hard, it's difficult. Do you know that we don't have anything worthy to be in the banquet? We can be there only because we are giving the wedding clothes. We have been given the identity. That's what we wear, the wedding clothes. So if you're not serving God happily, if you're not enjoying the banquet, take a look at yourself and see whether you are wearing the wedding clothing or not. Because it's quite likely if you're not serving happily, you may be wearing your own clothing still. It's just like when you drive and then you ignore the road codes. How far would you go? If you swim wearing jeans, can you enjoy swimming? And if you go to ski and you wear shorts, do you wear shorts when you go to ski? And maybe for some people they are very good, they can still enjoy skiing, but most people can't. We can only enjoy serving God if we drop our worldly values, our own clothing, and follow the way Jesus lives. The parable ends at verse 14. It says, for many are invited, but few are chosen. At this time, you may be thinking, like, what type of response that you are giving to Jesus? Jesus' warning is quite simple. Just don't be those three. Don't be those three. Don't devote your life to your own business. You'll miss out the banquet. Don't let yourself be mad at God for any longer. You will miss out. Don't respond to God with your own wisdom, your own old wisdom. Deep down, we all want to be chosen. God has chosen to invite us to join Him and enjoy with Him. But only a few. He said, for many are invited, but few are chosen. It's not that God hasn't chosen you. God has chosen all of you, but only a few of us choose to respond to His call. Will you? Will I see you at a banquet? Let's pray together. Lord, maybe in the past, we have refused to pick up the call. Maybe at this moment, we're still mad at you. We have a lot of things that we don't understand. We don't want to respond to your call. Or maybe we have responded to your call at a certain level. We came to your banquet, but we are in our own clothes. So we don't feel comfortable. We don't feel like we can be there. We don't feel we want to be there forever. But Lord, your will is for us to wear your clothing, to enjoy the banquet, to enjoy serving you so much that we want to serve you all the time. We want to serve you forever. So Lord, help us to reflect. Help us to reflect our life. See what is missing in our life. And Lord, help us to pick up your call, to hear what you want to say to us. In your name we pray. Amen.